This morning I get to a less familiar borrowed sermon title from Charles Dickens. Our Mutual Friend. Did you recognize that as a work by Charles Dickens? No, I didn't either when I first read it. Because at that point I was, browsing the works of Dickens for suitable titles that I could borrow for this series. Our Mutual Friend was Dickens' last novel, actually. It was written and published during 1864, 1865. Like some of his other works, it was first made available in a monthly serial form in a magazine, and then it was published as a bound volume. Our Mutual Friend was not especially well received by critics or the public at large either, and it didn't become as well known as many of his earlier works. I'm not sure how many people read Charles Dickens these days. In my lifetime, I read Charles Dickens because it was part of school curriculum. I don't think I very often got there on my own. And I hadn't heard this title. It wasn't, like Tale of Two Cities and Great Expectations and several other titles that could easily come to mind if you asked me what Charles Dickens had written. But anyway, when I saw this title, it made me do some thinking. When you discover that you have a close mutual friend with someone you have just encountered, it begins to shape the relationship right away. You meet someone and you have a little conversation with them, and you get to that point of talking about your mutual lives and where you've been, and then all of a sudden, in that conversation, it emerges that you and this person you've recently met have a mutual friend. Someone you know quite well. We all have, if we sat down and talked, we could find a list of mutual acquaintances, but when you find someone who shares a mutual friend with you, it immediately moves the relationship that you are beginning with this person forward quite quickly, Now, there are ways and things that help us discover that we may have mutual friends with other people. It's rather easier if you live in a rural area because you know a lot of people. And if this other person you've just met has any connections with that community, it's quite possible that you certainly have mutual acquaintances and even likely that amongst them there may be a mutual friend. And that has something to do with location and perhaps age. Maybe even one's occupation brings you into contact with a circle of people. When I first began in Alberton a few years ago, I had various conversations with people in the congregation about their lives. One that stands out for me, and I'm not betraying any confidences here, is I had a conversation with Tom Fittis. Now, understandably, Tom and I shared some roots because I had served in Chalmers Church on the Mountain, and that was Tom's home place. And we began to talk about, you know, our experiences of that time in our lives, people we were acquainted with. But then it also emerged that there was an individual whose name came into the conversation that was someone who Tom is still actively in contact with and I have gotten to know. And that person also, as it turns out, grew up in that Concession Street area about the same time as Tom did. Now, Tom and this person also shared an occupational thing, but that's another aside. But you know, that immediately strikes a chord with you. It immediately brings a little more depth to your beginning relationship with this new person, because you now know someone in common with them. And that's a bit of a bonding thing. And as I say, when you have rural roots, that happens more easily. If someone says, I'm from Toronto, I don't particularly expect that I will know the people that they know. But if they said they were from Alberton, maybe even Ancaster, I'd kind of dig around in my mind to see if there was something that linked us in terms of the people we know. And it just might be that we would discover that we had a mutual friend. Now, when you discover that you share a mutual friend with someone, especially a close friend, it almost automatically provokes the sharing of memories and experiences. You know, you cast around in your mind for ways in which your friendship with this mutual friend may have similarities with this new person you've just begun to get to know. And it provokes conversation and reminiscing. As I believe, if I recall correctly, Tom and I did with respect to this mutual friend, as well as we talked about the whole experience of growing up in that other Hamilton, which was Hamilton Mountain, in earlier times. Something else. If you discover that you share a mutual friend, it changes your relationship with this person in another way also. Because it puts on that relationship a certain sense of obligation. You know, if this person I've met is a close friend to someone who is with whom I have a close friendship, then I have, rightly or wrongly, almost assured to feel a greater commitment to that person. I mean, friendship involves being responsive to the needs of the other person. And if we share a common friend, then that begins immediately to strengthen the links between us as well. And it makes us willing and prepared to invest in this new acquaintanceship because we share a mutual friend. It's not as though we wouldn't do something for this person if they asked us to, ordinarily. But if we share a mutual friend with them, then it's almost guaranteed that if we possibly could, we would respond to whatever need they might have. Now, what's all this about? It's really not just about friendship, you know? Because the thing about this title that hit me in a way which the concept had never quite lined up for me before was this. You know, we share a mutual friend. Think about that. You sing the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." We just sang a hymn this morning, "Amigo de Cristo." We're friends of the Lord. So, you and I have a mutual friend. And just as having a mutual friend in ordinary social relationships changes things, so does that. I'd never particularly thought of Jesus as the mutual friend which all believers share together. But when I began to think about it, I thought, yes, that's the way it is, you know. That's the way it works. When we discover that we have this mutual friendship with Jesus Christ, then those ordinary things follow. It becomes quite natural for us to talk together, to reminisce about that relationship which we have each had with this mutual friend. It's kind of like where we ought to be, you know? That as believers, when we meet together, the faith dimension of our lives needs to be expressed and explored just as we might talk about other things about our lives. And if we're talking about a mutual friend, then it's rather easy for us to do. I mean, sometimes we shy away from talking about our faith, even with people we know share it. But we wouldn't hesitate to talk about a mutual friend together. And if Christ is a mutual friend that we share, then talking about him, remembering the ways in which his life and teaching have touched our life, is the most natural thing under the sun. And it also strengthens our bond, you know? I, as just a plain old neighbor to any of you, would have a certain obligation to you. Jesus talked about the importance of the expression of love in our human lives. But if I know that we share a mutual friend in Jesus Christ, then not only does that, you know, give you a nice feeling, but it also makes you realize that now you have an obligation to this person, not a burdensome obligation, but an obligation of opportunity. That if they have some need, then you do what you can to respond because you have a mutual friendship in Christ. So I want to express a word of thanks to Charles Dickens. It's a little late, I guess, but he kind of tweaked my thinking and opened my eyes to a way of seeing our shared relationship with Jesus Christ in a way that was slightly different than I had seen it before. And so I've been thinking about that, and I invite you to think about it too. Because, you know, these are the things we talk about when we talk about church and fellowship and community and Christian faith. What are we talking about? We're talking about this mutual friendship that we each have with Christ. And about how we want to cultivate fellowship with fellow believers. And you know, how we want to prepare ourselves to respond to the needs of fellow believers. And when we put it in terms of having a mutual friend, it seems just so obvious and so natural. So think about that, ponder it. Ask yourself how we can more comfortably and more fully share this mutual friend and the relationship which we each have with him, with one another, in all our conversations and interactions. And that gives us, you see, the opportunity to encourage one another, to tell our respective faith stories, and to give praise and glory to the name of our Lord. So, I don't know whether the title connects with you the way it connected with me, but anyway, that's what came to mind when I saw the title, Our Mutual Friend. I'd never heard of that book by Charles Dickens before. In fact, I actually quickly went to look to make sure that it actually was something he'd written. But to me, it sparks a useful link in my thinking and my responding to God's grace in Jesus Christ. So I leave it with you. This is all good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.